Wednesday, July 2nd. First reading from Genesis chapter 21, verses 5 and 8 through 20. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Isaac grew, and on the day of the child's weaning, Abraham held a great feast. Sarah noticed the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham playing with her son Isaac. So she demanded of Abraham, "Drive out that slave and her son. No son of that slave is going to share the inheritance with my son Isaac." Abraham was greatly distressed, especially on account of his son Ishmael. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed about the boy or about your slave woman. Heed the demands of Sarah, no matter what she is asking of you, for it is through Isaac that descendants shall bear your name. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a great nation of him also, since he too is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham got some bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. Then, placing the child on her back, he sent her away. As she roamed aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba, the water in the skin was used up. So she put the child down under a shrub, and then went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away, for she said to herself, "Let me not watch to see the child die." As she sat opposite Ishmael, he began to cry. God heard the boy's cry, and God's messenger called to Hagar from heaven, "What is the matter, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy's cry in this plight of his. Arise, lift up the boy and hold him by the hand, for I will make of him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water, and then let the boy drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. Haydock Commentary. Sarah saw Ishmael playing with Isaac, or persecuting, as St. Paul explains it in Galatians 4:29. The play tended to pervert the morals of the young Isaac, whether we understand the term as implying idolatry or obscene actions or fighting, in all which senses it is used in Scripture. Ishmael was 13 years older than Isaac, and took occasion perhaps from the feast and the other signs of preference given by his parents to the latter, to hate and persecute him, which Sarah, soon perceiving, was forced to have recourse to the expedient apparently so harsh of driving Ishmael and his mother from the house, that they might have an establishment of their own, and not disturb Isaac and the inheritance after the death of Abraham. In this she was guided by a divine light, and not by any female antipathy. Many of the actions of worldlings, which at first sight may appear innocent, have a natural and fatal tendency to pervert the morals of the just, and therefore we must keep as much as possible at a distance from their society. Ishmael was a figure of the synagogue which persecuted the Church of Christ in her birth. Abraham's divorce of Hagar and ejection of Ishmael prefigured the reprobation of the Jews. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 34. When Jesus came to the territory of the Gadarenes, two demoniacs who were coming from the tombs met him. They were so savage that no one could travel by that road. They cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Some distance away, a herd of many swine was feeding. The demons pleaded with him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go then." They came out and entered the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, where they drowned. The swineherds ran away, and when they came to the town, they reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. Thereupon the whole town came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. Haydock Commentary. Here we read of two that were possessed with devils. St. Mark and St. Luke in the same passage mention but one man, who is said to be possessed with a legion of devils. Those evangelists seem to make mention of only one of them, because he might be much more fierce and famous than the other. The demoniacs say, "Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" That is, before the time which God has marked to drive us from the world and to bury us forever in the prison of hell. Send us into the herd of swine. According to St. Luke, they begged of him two things. First, that they might not be sent into hell, there to be tormented with more grievous torments, as they will be at the end of the world. Second, that they might be permitted to go into the herd of swine, that these being destroyed, the inhabitants of that country might be ill affected towards our Savior and refuse to receive him. The event seems to confirm this opinion. Many reasons might be brought why our Savior suffered the devils to enter into the swine. One, to show that the devils had no power even over the swine without his permission. Two, that such as were freed from their power might acknowledge the greatness of the favor done them by seeing from how great a multitude they were liberated. Three, to punish those Jewish citizens who fed upon swine's flesh contrary to their law. and 4, to show how willingly the devils dwell in the hearts of those who are addicted to the voluptuous and carnal life, aptly designated by the swine. St. John Chrysostom says that our Savior permitted the devils to enter the swine not for their own sakes, but for our instruction. First, that we might know how very desirous the enemy of our salvation is to bring upon us the greatest evils. Second, that the devil has not any power even over swine without the permission of God. And 3, that these cruel fiends would, if the Almighty allowed them, inflict still more grievous torments on their unhappy slaves. Jesus Christ also here confutes the doctrine of the Sadducees, which denies the existence of spirits, good or bad. The people begged him to leave their district. St. Jerome thinks these people did this out of a motive of humility, looking upon themselves unworthy of his presence. Others judge that the loss of swine made them apprehend lest Christ, being a Jew, might do them greater damages. The fear lest his presence might cause them some fresh loss seems to have overbalanced, in their estimation, the advantages they might have expected from this visit. How often has our good Lord wished to visit us, to honor us with his sacred presence, to enrich us with his divine inspirations? And how often, like these Gerasenes, have we desired him to depart from our territories? Some worldly interest, sensual enjoyment, or supine listlessness on our part has occasioned us to neglect the proffered advantages. Oh, can there be more marked ingratitude than this? Oh, how shall we one day grieve for having lost by our culpable indifference immense spiritual treasures which have been made over to others far more deserving than ourselves? Yes, the day will certainly arrive when we shall value a single additional degree of the divine favor and grace infinitely more than all the united honors, riches, and pleasures of this world.